We worship together as always in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of heaven and earth, you come in close and make us yours. Equip us by your Spirit to confess our sin, embrace your forgiveness, and seek the way you set before us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
With honesty of heart, let us confess our sin. The assembly may kneel or stand. Merciful God,
forgive us. Our will is handcuffed to sin, and we cannot break free. We have spoken when we should have kept quiet.
We were silent when we should have said something.
We acted when we knew better.
We were still when we knew
we should have moved.
For the wrong we have done, for the good we have failed to do, have mercy on us, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. People of God, look to the Son, given to heal you and set you free. Because God loved the world so much, take hold of life, eternal life. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Let us pray. O God, with steadfast love, you draw us to yourself, and in mercy, you receive our prayers. Strengthen us to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, that through life and death, we may live in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading comes from Jeremiah, chapter 31, starting at verse 31. A reading from Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with your ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they all shall know me, and from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. In your great compassion, blot out my offenses.
Create in me a
The second reading is found in Hebrews chapter 5, starting with verse 5. Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplication with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Having been made perfect, he became a source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Having been designated by God a high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it. And those who reject their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, there my servants will be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Just watching me now, you probably think I've become super technologically savvy over our vacation, but that's not true. What I have for you this morning is a story that I think holds the most integrity by letting the characters in the story tell that story themselves. So that will be part of the sermon today. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So on our Lenten journey, where we are following the road where faith is found. Last week, if you were in the midst of the congregation, you traveled the road where love paves the way. Again, today we encounter the sign that reads "Transformation Ahead." Love paves the way and transformation ahead. Last week, the word proclaimed, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him, who trusts in him, should not perish, but will have everlasting life." Today we are witnesses to this love on the verge, on the precipice of giving it all as Jesus makes his way to the cross. It is a love of sacrifice and action. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit, Jesus says. Jesus is about to become that grain of wheat. He is the one who will soon fall into the earth. He will reject his life in this world. He will suffer on behalf of sinners. He will die. He will be buried into the earth. And we will await his resurrection. He does this so that you and I may have life, life in him. Jesus does this to transform us, to change our lives, to give us new sight, to give us new vision, to help us see the world through God's eyes, as I said to the children. Jesus says in this text, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. This is the transformation that God calls into our lives through Jesus Christ, a transformation of death and resurrection, a transformation of dying to ourselves so that we might live to the glory and honor of God our Creator, the one who holds us in his hands and equips us to bring life with him, to bring life into this world. As we were studying this text in text study this week, I couldn't help but think that it's the story that carries the truth in our world today. Stories for us carry meaning, they're easy to remember, they trigger emotions and thoughts and memories. And so this morning I want to share with you a story. It's an NPR story that was done in 2004. And it's a story based on a book by a man named Neely Tucker. Neely is married to a woman of color, an African-American woman. And this is the story of their journey to adopt their daughter, Chipo. It is a story that contains love, elements of love and risk, sacrifice, self-denial, and so much more. And I think, again, I thought about chopping it up, but it seems to me that this story will hold the most integrity that it can by letting you listen to it in its fullness. It's about 7 minutes long. But throughout, I'm going to stop the audio, and together we're going to respond to it with the words, transformation ahead. And I think as you listen to the story, you will understand why. So, Carl, I'm using Vox 9.
In a warm and cozy row house in Washington, D.C., a family settles down for homework.
I'll do this one and then do that one.
The Tuckers, Neely and Vita, sit with their 5-year-old daughter, Chipo. The home is filled with artwork, masks and sculpture from Africa, treasures from Zimbabwe, where Neely and Vita lived for 3 years. There they met their adopted daughter, Chipo. Like thousands of children in Zimbabwe, she'd been abandoned at birth and left for dead. In a new book called Love in the Driest Season, Neely Tucker writes about the struggle to first keep Chipo alive, and then the long journey through Zimbabwe's bureaucratic maze to make the child a permanent part of their family. For years, Neely Tucker was a foreign correspondent, covering the world's most dangerous hotspots, Sarajevo, Nairobi, Kinshasa, and so on. The Tuckers arrived in Zimbabwe in 1997, a time when the country was the epicenter of the AIDS crisis in Africa. Unable to have children of their own, the couple threw themselves into volunteer work at a local orphanage filled with sick infants. It was there they met a baby girl named Chipo. In the Shona language, her name means gift, and they remember the moment they first saw her as if it was yesterday.
He saw her first. She was the tiniest, smallest little thing under these blankets that I described in the book as a forest of blankets. And I looked down and bumped her nose with mine, and that didn't get a response. And then I was just sort of, looking, and she reached out with her hand, and she grabbed my little finger, and she held it. And it has been
Say it with me, transformation of the head. She took hold of his little finger, and he has never been the same man since. Transformation ahead.
Abandoned at birth, Chiba was found quite by accident, miles from the nearest village, hidden in chest-high grass. That's where Neely Tucker begins his book.
By noon, the ants found the girl child. Left to die on the day she was born, she had been placed in the tall brown grass that covers the highlands of Zimbabwe in the dry season, when the sun burns for days on end and rain is a rumor that will not come true for many months. She had been abandoned in the thin shade of an acacia tree, according to the only theory of events police ever put forth. There were no clues as to exactly when she was left there, or why, or how, or by whom. She just appeared one day, like Moses in the bulrushes.
Chico's outlook looked grim. Most of the infants in the orphanage suffered from pneumonia or malnutrition. Many also had HIV or AIDS. During one visit, Vito was sure Chico was at the edge of death, so she rushed her by cab to the nearest hospital. There, a doctor told her that if Chico returned to the overcrowded and understaffed orphanage, she would almost surely die. He advised Vito instead to take her home.
We wanted her to live. We wanted her. We needed her. And so I did explicitly everything that the doctor asked me to do.
Transformation ahead.
I had no experience with an infant, especially if it was special needs. And I put her in the bed in this little cotton cot next to me so that I could hear her breathe and I could just lay up against her. And she woke up every 45 minutes and she would open her mouth and there would be no sound that would come out. And then just a few seconds later, she would let out this screech, this horrible screech that you wouldn't expect to come from an infant. And it would immediately jolt you into action because she was hungry.
And so that's when the great feeding came.
Exactly. We put something in it immediately.
And she, you know, I think that she just turned into this little bone of arms and legs.
Right.
And at 6 months, V was changing her diaper. And she was almost 6 months. And V leaned down and tickled her belly button with her nose and looked up. And she gorgeous smile. And it was.
Transformation ahead.
You still remember that?
Oh my God, I will never forget that.
We decided this is our baby. As long as we're here, this child is ours. We do not quit. We do not go home. If she gets sick, she gets sick. If she dies, then she dies. But that's it. She's ours right now today. And anything else is a description on a piece of paper.
The government didn't exactly agree with you.
They took a much different stance. That was the moment of determination that you reach and you say, okay, the fight is on. If there's going to be a fight, the fight is on.
A fight complicated by the fact that Neely Tucker is a white man who is asking an army of African bureaucrats to place a sick, chocolate-skinned infant in his care permanently. Part of the problem was stonewalling from the Robert Mugabe government at a time when the country was becoming increasingly hostile toward foreign journalists. But there were cultural issues, too.
You talk to God through your ancestors in Shona society. You do not just yourself talk to God. It is through the ancestors. Therefore, if you do not know who your ancestors are, you are literally lost into the universe. That is why there has never been a traditional practice for the almost 1,000 years the Shona-speaking people have been there, that there was a process of adopting strangers, as we would call it. It's all done within the extended family. It's a tremendous social welfare net.
With their adoption application languishing, the interracial couple considered sneaking Chico out of the country. But after months of pushing and cajoling and pleading, her adoption finally came through. And though Chico at birth had all the classic symptoms of AIDS, she's tested negative for HIV 3 times. The Tuckers is a story of love and determination, and a tale of the ironies of race. Neely was born in a highly segregated South. When he married a black woman, he lost ties with his family. Chico Chibo brought his parents, especially his father, back into his life.
But thankful my pop, he's not an emotional touchy-feely guy. But he absolutely adores me.
Here's a man or a family that's grown up and believing in stock segregation. You know, and I like to say that God is funny. He has a sense of humor because here's the only grandchild that you have at the time, and she's African. Yeah. And you love her to death, and they do. That is their grandbaby.
Transformation ahead.
The main reason the book was, that I wrote the book, was as a love letter for Chibo to always have. 40, it's not a children's book by any means. It is something for her to have 40 or 50 years from now, when Vita and I are long gone, and she can have something on a shelf that she can pull down on a rainy Sunday afternoon and flip through the pages and know that we loved her so.
Now.
Say it with me one more time. Transformation. You see, I believe that we are all Moses in the bulrush. We are all Chibo in that tall grass. Because of sin, we were left to die on the day of our birth. We were sentenced with the same sentence as Moses and Chibo. But it was God. Through God's vision, through God's compassion, through God's great love, who saw us, who saw our need for life, who reached out to us by sending us his Son, Jesus Christ, who picked us up, who washed us off, who gave us new birth, who claimed us as his own. And he has given us a book. A book that we can take off the shelf day after day and be reminded that we are so loved. And God does this so that in receiving life, in receiving the love of our Heavenly Father, we can then give ourselves away. We can give ourselves to this broken, sick and sinful world in love. For love is the only power that truly transforms, that transforms for life, that transforms for life. Let's say it together one more time. Transformation ahead. Let all God's people say, Amen.
Renewed in the promises of baptism, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Each petition ends with, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for the church. Guide us into a deeper knowledge of your love and grace. Increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and service. We pray for our pastors, missionaries, Promised Land teachers, and all servants of the church. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the world, for seeds planted in hope of an abundant harvest, for fertile soils and sufficient rains, for shepherds and ranchers, farm workers and seafood harvesters, for flowers and berries, for orchards, vineyards, and citrus groves. We are so deeply thankful for our local farm families. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the nations, for countries embroiled in long-term conflicts, and for communities scarred by political unrest and upheaval. Grant wisdom in the world's decision makers. Guide them to work for peace and the well-being of all people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those in need, for all who suffer in any way, for those who are lonely or isolated, for those seeking employment, for those who approach the hour of their death, and all who are ill. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for this assembly, for those preparing for baptism, for visitors, newcomers, and those who are returning after an extended absence. Deepen all of us in faith. Fill us with hope and draw us all into your loving presence. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the physical, mental, and emotional and financial needs for our congregation and visitors, and particularly for those listed in our bulletin this morning. Rolf, Michaela, Peg, Ione, Rhonda, Joyce, and Bruce of Hannah and Keith and Emily Walker, Evangelical Lutheran Church of the 90s, Millenaries, and Josephine and Amos. Lord, in your mercy. With thanksgiving, we remember those who have died, especially those who have been witnesses and examples to us. Bring us with them to the promise of resurrection and life eternal with you. Lord, in your mercy. Finally, trusting in your covenant of mercy, O God, we lift our prayers to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. The God of glory dwells in you richly, names you beloved, and shines brightly on your path. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.